from the heart of our nation's capital, this is Washington Watch Weekend Edition. Now, here's your host, David Salkeld.
This week on the Weekend Edition of Washington Watch, Democrats begin impeachment without evidence, the U.S. takes a pro-life stand at the U.N., and a climate change spectacle at the United Nations. Greetings, fellow patriots. I am David Salkeld, and I'm a constitutional conservative, Christian husband, and homeschool dad. It has been a very busy week for politicians, both in New York at the United Nations and at the Capitol in Washington, D.C. Earlier this week, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi announced an impeachment inquiry into President Trump, though they provided no evidence for the inquiry. And the way Democrats went about starting the inquiry seems to indicate they've skipped a few steps in the process. Joining Washington Watch Live host Tony Perkins to talk about it is the House Minority Leader, Kevin McCarthy.
Kevin, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you so much, Tony. I appreciate all the work you do.
Well, thank you.
Out and about.
Well, this is, to me, one of the most unbelievable aspects of this. And you brought this to the forefront yesterday with your resolution that never, ever in the history of the House of Representatives of the federal government has a president been an impeachment investigation of a president begun without a vote of the House of Representatives.
Now, if you just look at modern history, we've impeached three times here, two judges and then President Clinton. And every time the committee even wrote, when they put the House resolution, that this is of such great importance, and the Constitution says it's all with the House of starting it, that they needed direction and from the full body. Now, if you watched what Speaker Pelosi said, she went there and said, we're going to have an impeachment inquiry, never before, without having a vote of the floor, because she wants it two ways. When she said that, that made no difference whatsoever. Nothing changed when she said that. But what's the real challenge here is she is the Speaker of the House, but she's not the voice of America. The voice of the constituents across this country, and they lend their power to their representative and their voice for every 2 years. She just took that all away. There should be a vote on the floor, and what she wants to do is she's trying to protect her members not to have to vote on this.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. I mean, she has the votes. If she wanted to, the Democrats are in the majority.
She would, yes.
But she does not want them to be on record because this, like the other investigations, Russia, collusion, all of that, when it comes out that there's nothing here, they're going to have to answer for that when they go back and face their constituents.
Remember, AOC tweeted against the speaker over the weekend, and then she came out and she had that press conference saying there's going to be impeachment inquiry before one bit of evidence was presented.
Right.
She never even read anything yet. And then she claimed in that press conference that the president violated the law.
Now, the president has released the transcript, the full transcript of the conversation. He is providing all of the information. The transparency that he is providing here, nothing like I saw in the previous administration. What's the way forward here? What do you think is going to be the ultimate outcome? How long is this going to take? And is this simply more of the same to try to derail this president's agenda?
Well, it goes to show, even if you watch the Intel committee today, the chairman, Schiff, he starts it off with a parody. It just shows how unserious they are about something that is so serious about an impeachment of a president. It also goes to show that they don't care about facts. They just want to base it on politics of where they want to try to move forward. They were unsuccessful with the Mueller. They were unsuccessful today. The president had to just release his phone conversation with another world leader.
Mm-hmm.
That has just weakened every president in the future. Who's going to have a conversation? And an honest one,
right,
with the president, they're afraid their conversation is going to get leaked.
Very, very, very good point. And but this also, the intelligence community, what role are they playing in this?
Well, that is a concern to us. We saw before that this whistleblower, he or she, wasn't on the phone call. Everything they allege is they heard from somebody else. But now we have the facts. We have the transcript. There is nothing in that transcript that is impeachable. They tried to say prior to the transcript that the president offered some quid pro quo. We find that not to be true. The president talked about the investigation because of the corruption of what transpired in 2016, nothing about an election in the future. And that is all legal in an open investigation being driven by the attorney general.
And Kevin, my deeper concern here, and I even had these concerns during the Obama administration, is once you go to a certain length, and what we're seeing here of this president, you talked about, I mean, this is just one example of many where this president, in this case, having a conversation with a world leader, I mean, this does damage to our system of government that, quite frankly, may never be fixed.
So true. And the question here is they're breaking the fiber of this nation. Think about how
right.
serious this is, Tony. They're questioning impeaching the leader of the free world. And they take it so lightly. But it's in the Constitution about what rises to a crime in others. Nothing here does that. But when they told the American public to trust them that they would be different if they got the majority, they lied to them.
Yeah.
The head of the judiciary, Congressman Nadler, he actually campaigned when they won the majority that he would be the best chairman for impeachment. That's what they voted on based on where they wanted to put him. This has all been about politics. This is still about the 2016 election, but it's not based on facts. And I'm sorry, this country is too great to have such a small vision of just impeachment and investigation.
You know, my take on this is I've been monitoring. I was as I mentioned at the top of the program, I was in Texas yesterday in El Paso at the border and was in New York on Monday for the UN speech the president made. So I've been kind of traveling all this week. Most of America has almost grown immune to the political noise that Nancy Pelosi and their party. I mean, it's just like this president, no matter what he does, where he goes, what he says, they attack it. And I'm not sure that they're going to be able to politically break through on this, that people have just kind of become inoculated to the just everything that they keep doing.
It is exactly what they've been trying to do. But we have so many big problems. We have a border that you were just down that we need to secure and solve an immigration problem. We have the United States, Mexico, and Canada trade agreement that Mexico has already ratified. Canada is only waiting on us. It guarantees at the very minimum to bring 160,000 jobs, makes America stronger, especially in our debate with China. Mexico and Canada have now surpassed China as our top traders. But that's not coming forward. We have a surprise billing where people go to a hospital within their own network and they get a big price that they never should. But that's not moving. There are so many problems out there that we could be solving. But the Democrats are so focused on one thing, their hatred of the president, lawlessness of where they want to go, and they just want to impeach him.
It is disturbing. And going back to the earlier point, I think that this does great damage to our system of government. And oftentimes when we set these new standards, we break precedent, we go places we've not been before, it's hard to recover.
It is. It does damage to the country. It affects everything about it. And I just ask that the Democrats put the country before their politics. That's all that would be important.
Final question. I know you got to go, Kevin, but do you think that Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats in this latest move are overplaying their hand?
By far. For the Speaker of the House, third in line for the President of the United States, for her to claim impeachment inquiry without one bit of evidence, not even waiting for it. There's people in her own conference, Democrats, questioning why did she move so soon? And she put the entire Democrats in a really bad position to be in.
Well, for the sake of the country, I hope we move through this quickly, resolve it, and allow this administration to move forward with what I have seen for the last 2.5 years is exactly what he promised the people when they voted for him and elected him in 2016.
Well, thank you so much for all your hard work.
All right. Kevin McCarthy, thanks so much for joining us. And obviously, we'll be watching this as it unfolds.
Okay. Take care.
You can find out more about Kevin McCarthy and the impeachment inquiry when you visit TonyPerkins.com. And don't forget to join us in Washington, D.C. for the Values Voter Summit coming up October 11th through 13th. You can find those details at our website. Again, that's TonyPerkins.com.
Several radical abortion laws throughout the country are challenging the sanctity of life. The Family Research Council wants to remind Congress that babies should be welcomed with a warm hat, not potential danger. Our goal is to send 90,000 hats to U.S. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, and support has allowed us to purchase over 45,000 of those baby hats. Join Americans across the nation and donate $9 to send a powerful reminder that young lives need to be cherished. Visit endbirthdayabortion.com for more information.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. There was a lot going on at the United Nations this week, and we'll talk about the climate summit coming up in our next segment. But first, at a meeting of the United Nations General Assembly in New York on Monday, Health and Human Services Secretary Alex Azar spoke on behalf of the United States and more than a dozen other countries, telling the gathering that abortion is not an international human right. Joining Family Research Council President Tony Perkins to talk about his experience at the UN is the Secretary himself, Alex Azar.
Secretary, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Tony, it's great to be with you. Thank you for having me.
Well, first, let's just jump right into it. What prompted you to call on UN member nations to oppose these growing efforts to promote abortion internationally?
Well, you know, Tony, we started this effort back in May at the World Health Assembly, which is the member countries that belong to the World Health Organization. And what we have found is, for too long, is that many of these Western elite democracies have tried to force their views about abortion onto other countries. And we, the United States, always try to find compromise. We try to avoid these issues. We try to find places of commonality around healthcare and don't try to drive our agenda on them, but they try to force this on us and other countries. And we stood up and said, no, we're done with this. And countries representing over 1 billion people stood up at the World Health Assembly and said, enough. You must respect our sovereignty. You must respect our values and do not force them on us. And so now, coming to the UN General Assembly, working closely with Secretary Mike Pompeo, he and I sent a letter to other countries saying, join with us in this effort. And 20 countries representing over 1.3 billion people on Earth said the same. Respect us.
I think that's extremely important, Mr. Secretary, that people realize that this is not just America that's out there on its own. You've got, as you mentioned, over 20 countries representing 1.3 billion people. I mean, you're talking about Brazil, Poland, Iraq. I mean, quite a diverse gathering of countries saying, hey, we agree, this stuff should not be forced upon us. And you didn't pull any punches. You said there is no international right to abortion. Besides the expected pushback from the pro-abortion groups, the non-governmental organizations, were there any specific countries which took exception to your pro-life declaration?
Well, obviously those elite nations came out with their own statement in support of abortion on demand as a fundamental international right, which of course is not the law. It is not accepted in international convention, and the United States will not agree to that proposition. But you know what, Tony? I'll tell you what happened. I gave those remarks where I supported President Trump's view and Vice President Pence's view that there is no international law right to abortion, and that the views of elite countries shouldn't be forced on other countries. I came down off the podium and two other countries came up to me, and they said, just walking across the floor, and they said, please, please, can we join with you? Because having the United States as a beacon, as a protector to say, these views are okay, we will protect you if you have these views, it gives them comfort and allows them to speak out where they have been cowed before in these international communities. So it was very moving for me to have these two separate ministers come up to me and say, please, can we join you?
I would go a little further, Mr. Secretary. I think under the previous administration, it was the opposite. We had an administration that was actually pushing this agenda and punishing countries that would not sign on. Here, you're providing leadership for what is, you know, really, I would say the majority view of the member nations that, you know, abortion is not a health care right. But by leadership, you're bringing people on, not coercion.
Well, that's right. In the previous administration, the United States would have been counted along with the Netherlands and others of these elite countries that are driving this agenda. And now we're standing apart and saying, you know, if you choose to be with us in protecting the sanctity of human life, we are here for you. We are here. We don't pressure. We simply have offered this alternative viewpoint. We were transparent about this. You know, 2 weeks ago, Secretary Pompeo and my letter, we posted on our HHS website to be transparent about this. We sent it to over 75 countries. One could hardly but be transparent about that. Pro-life reporters have reported on our efforts to make this known to people. Not pressure, but making sure people know that this is an option for you. You no longer have to hide in the shadows if you support life from conception or do not want to have the views of these elite countries forced upon you.
See, I think this is quite significant, Secretary Azar, because you have the United States now taking a leadership role in advancing the sanctity of human life in the United Nations, which has long been a seedbed for everything, all the weeds and the cultural things we fight against. But you also in this not only address the issue of the sanctity of life and that life should be respected, but you talk about the family. You state in this letter that you and Secretary Pompeo sent is that we respectfully request that your government join the United States in ensuring that every sovereign state has the ability to determine the best way to protect the unborn and defend the family as the foundational unit of society, vital to children thriving and leading healthy lives. And further in here, you actually go into some of these sex ed programs that are undermining the authority of parents.
That's right. They want to demand programs that exclude the family from family planning, exclude the family from critical discussions with our youth about sexual and reproductive issues. And we stand against that. We believe the family needs to be a part of that, but they want to exclude that. And you know, Tony, one of the pernicious things they do is they hide behind language, politically correct language like sexual reproductive freedom or rights, and they sneak these things, they try to sneak these things in, but we catch them, into UN resolutions and documents that then UN bureaucratic staff and other international organizations can then use to claim that there have been established a fundamental international right to abortion or international right to the exclusion of the family and family planning consultations. And we are watching this, and we are calling them out on this. We don't seek this. We're not the mover. We wanted to be here at the United Nations focusing on universal health care issues, how we can improve primary health care access to the world's citizens. How did this become an issue of abortion? It wasn't us. It wasn't us. The other nations are trying to exploit this as a vehicle because they know the popularity of the universal health care initiative. They're trying to exploit it as a way to fulfill their aggressive agenda.
Yeah, that is very representative of how they do that. They push, you say no, and they accuse you of pushing an agenda when they're the ones that were pushing it the whole time.
It is Kafkaesque. It is Kafkaesque. When it's we don't demand, we don't pressure, we don't initiate, and yet we get accused of all of that.
Secretary Azar, we're out of time, but I want to thank you for joining us, and I want to commend you as well as Secretary Pompeo for leading out in the United Nations for the sanctity of human life. And not only there, you've been doing this consistently domestically in our policy, so we thank you.
Thank you, Tony.
You can find out more about Alex Azar, as well as FRC's Stand on the Right to Life, when you visit TonyPerkins.com. While you're there, consider joining our effort to send a pro-life message to Speaker Nancy Pelosi's office in the form of a thermal baby hat. All the information you need is there at our website, TonyPerkins.com.
Are you concerned with the state of our nation? Then come join us at FRC Action's Values Voters Summit in D.C. From October 11th to the 13th, hear from key conservatives who are bringing real change to Washington. FRC President Tony Perkins will be there, along with Ali Stuckey, Oliver North, Dana Lash, and congressional leaders. Register online at valuesvotersummit.org or call 1-877-372-2808. That's 1-877-372-2808.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. As you've probably seen on social media or any number of news outlets, a teenager from the Netherlands, Greta Thunberg, made a dramatic pitch for combating so-called climate change at the UN this week. We begin this segment with just a brief piece of Greta's speech.
I shouldn't be up here. I should be back in school on the other side of the ocean. Yet you all come to us young people for hope. How dare you? You have stolen my dreams and my childhood with your empty words. And yet, I'm one of the lucky ones. People are suffering. People are dying. Entire ecosystems are collapsing. We are in the beginning of a mass extinction. And all you can talk about is money and fairy tales of eternal economic growth. How dare you? You are failing us.
Obviously, she's one that follows AOC on Twitter or Instagram. Look, the environmentalists hope to convince presidents, prime ministers, and corporate executives to wean the global economy from fossil fuels to avoid the alleged worst effects of global warming. Now, of course, according to AOC, we got 12 years. Well, I guess it's probably 11 and a half by now. You got to get rid of fossil fuels, coal, oil. But anyway, despite the protest in the streets of New York City in Washington, D.C., China made no promises to take stronger climate action on Monday, one of the greatest polluters in the world. And the United States, having vowed to pull out of the Paris Agreement, the pact among the nations to jointly fight climate change, said nothing at all about it. So join me now with his analysis is Republican Congressman Louie Gohmert, who represents the 1st District of Texas and serves on the Natural Resources Committee and the Judiciary Committee. Louie, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hey, it's always good to be with you, Tony. And it is. I mean, hearing that girl in the clip you played, I mean, it sounds so tragic. But she's obviously been terribly miseducated, and she's been driven to the point of just almost being certifiable because she's so worried. I mean, that is outrageous that people have driven her to that point. And there was a great article Breitbart had used, another article that was by Ebel Malloy. But anyway, just documenting, in 67, there was a dire famine forecast. By 1975, everybody was going to be starving.
Right.
In 69, everybody was going to disappear in a cloud of blue steam. By 1970, we were told the Ice Age would be here by 2000. And these are some of the same people we're hearing from now, Tony. In 70, America was would be subject to water rationing by 1974 and food rationing in 1980. 71, the new ice age coming in 2020 or 2030. And I remember professors and teachers all talking about, yeah, that we're at the beginning of a new ice age. The world's going to be covered. It'll be extinction of mankind. And I'm going, I know that's not the way things end here on Earth. It's just, it's not, we're not going to end in an ice age. I don't care what the scientists say. Well, it turns out the scientists were completely wrong. But there's 50 years of them getting this stuff every bit wrong. You remember the hockey stick that was going to be just devastating and end the world. Well, it turns out there's no hockey stick. There's just barely a polo pony. But anyway, they've been so wrong, and they're scaring young people and making them think that it's all going to come to an end, when the bottom line, you know it, I know it, we've talked about this, but in order to take away people's freedom and have some kind of big globalist 1984 Orwellian type international government, you've got to scare people enough that the world is ending unless you give all your rights over to this big government and let them save you. And they found it. I mean, there've been fears that, you know, either the weather or gods were using the weather, and oh gee, we got to throw somebody, you know, in a volcano to stop the volcano. We got to do this, that, or the other to stop the bad weather. I mean, this stuff has been around as long as man's been around, and it's just amazing that we've come this far in civilization and we still have educated people being scared by educated people that are just miseducating and wrong about the science.
Well, and that's the key there. You talk about education. That's where these children are being indoctrinated with this day in and day out in our education system. But there's something new here that wasn't in the past. You have billionaires coming behind this agenda for the power grab that you talked about. You look at, actually, this girl, Greta, has links all the way back to George Soros. And there is a reason they want to scare people so that they can consolidate their power for their entire leftist agenda.
And, you know, I majored in history, never stopped studying it. And what amazes me is, as well-educated, supposedly, as these billionaires are, that are given hundreds of millions of dollars to try to turn us into a socialist, globalist, progressive system. I mean, they're not, they may help get us there, but their money will be taken and they'll either end up dead or in a gulag. They hadn't been aware of that.
Well, it's all the more important why we must counter what our children are being taught in these government schools, where they're being indoctrinated on this agenda.
Exactly.
Louis Gohmert, thanks so much for joining us. As always, great to talk with you, my friend.
Thank you, Tony.
Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. I'm David Salkeld, thanking you for being with us, and I encourage you to be back here next week for the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
Washington Watch Weekend Edition is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.